A fly ball going out to short left field. Gosselin comes in and he makes the catch.
There were reasons to feel very good about Detroit in the mid-1930s. One of them, according to historian and author Tom Stanton, was the Tigers.
They won the World Series in 1935.
Then there were the Red Wings.
They also won the Stanley Cup.
And the Lions.
They won the NFL title in 1935.
And the greatest boxer of his time, a fellow who grew up in Detroit.
Joe Louis was the uncrowned, undefeated heavyweight champion.
So in Detroit, it was the best of times, right? No other city could boast such a simultaneous embarrassment of riches in the realm of sports. And a good thing, too, because if ever a city needed diversions from the day-to-day routine in which its citizens were involved, it was Detroit in the mid-30s.
The market crashed in 29, and by 33, Detroit had an unemployment rate in the area of 40%. And so it was a tumultuous time. You had all these folks who had come from other countries, other parts of the country, struggling to survive. Folks who had come from the South, and folks who were Catholic and had come from Italy and elsewhere, and all of them struggling to keep jobs. And one way you could keep a job, if you were in a factory, was to belong to the Black Legion. And many folks did.
Perhaps you've never heard of the Black Legion. Lots of folks haven't, and some who have, well, they found it convenient to forget what they knew.
But in its time, it was a huge deal. There were a couple movies that came out, and one starring Humphrey Bogart called The Black Legion.
Those Black Legion guys don't fool.
I'm not fooling either. You're going to quit that gang.
I can't get out. I've tried. They won't let me out.
The character played by Humphrey Bogart sounds terrified, doesn't he? And he has reason to be. The Black Legion, which Stanton describes as a more violent version of the Ku Klux Klan, was a secret organization dedicated to terrorizing minorities, particularly blacks, Catholics, and Jews. The Black Legion had as many as 100,000 members across four states. The Black Legion's popularity in Detroit coincided with the city's greatest sports era. And how people handled that circumstance illustrates the irrational ways in which fans sometimes behave. In Detroit, organized labor, opposed mightily by Henry Ford and his motor company, was another Legion target. The Legion also terrified lots of its own members. Witness the Bogart character's despair.
You can't go to the cops.
I can't. Oh, well, that's exactly what I'm going to do, unless you quit that gang.
They'll kill you. They'll kill me for telling you.
The Legion's strategy was to lure potential recruits to a meeting, kidnap them if necessary, and then threaten them if they didn't join and swear they'd never tell anybody what they'd done. The Legion promoted racist theories, threatened union leaders, and beat members who tried to quit. And in the Detroit area alone, Legion members committed some 50 murders. One of their victims was an African-American laborer named Silas Coleman. He was shot to death in May of 1935.
On that very same day that Silas Coleman was killed, Jesse Owens set four world track records at Ann Arbor that very same day. And there were white folks cheering for Jesse Owens. But then just hours later, 15, 20 miles away in Pinckney, Silas Coleman is lured up there by some black legionnaires who simply want to know what it feels like to kill a black man. And he's lured out to the Ford Mill Pond, and he is released and hunted and shot and killed. One of the police officers, a Captain Ira Marmon, who was investigating, wanted to drain the Ford Mill Pond because he had been told that there were 7 or 8 other bodies that were in that pond. And Henry Ford denied permission to drain his pond and for that investigation to go forward.
In 1935, the integration of Major League Baseball was still over a decade away, but among the most popular Detroit Tigers were Hank Greenberg, who was Jewish, and Charlie Gehringer, a devout Catholic. The Black Legion gave them a pass.
These Black Legion members were sports fans, many of them anyways. In Detroit, the city was going crazy for their sport teams because they had suffered through the Great Depression, were still suffering through it, and the Tigers, Lions, Red Wings, Joe Louis were giving them something to cheer for. They were uplifting the spirits of the city. These guys in the Black Legion planned some of their crimes so that it didn't conflict with the Tigers' schedule, so they wouldn't miss a game. You know, if we're going to hang this guy, let's do it after the game. It's difficult to grasp how they reconciled these issues, but they found a way to do it.
The Legion may have infiltrated the Tigers by means of recruiting their player manager and future Hall of Famer, Mickey Cochran.
Mickey Cochran potentially was a member. One of his closest friends at that point was Harry Bennett, Henry Ford's right-hand man.
Harry Bennett was said to know everything there was to know about who leaned which way in the Ford works, including who was pro-Union and who was in the Legion. Ford himself, well, you'll recall that he wouldn't allow the authorities to drain the pond they thought might be full of the bodies of the Legion's victims. Anyway, in 1936, during the summer after they'd won the World Series, the Tigers foundered. Perhaps for that reason, and perhaps because of the tension that gripped the city as revelations concerning investigation of the Legion began to surface, Mickey Cochran had what may have been a nervous breakdown. He couldn't sleep, he suffered from vertigo, and at mid-season he removed himself from the Tigers' lineup. Harry Bennett arranged for Cochran's admission to the Ford Hospital and subsequently a month-long rest in Montana. The team finished 19 and a half games behind the Yankees. Like the Tigers, the Black Legion would slump. Some of the members of the Detroit Police Department were in the Legion, but some of the ones who weren't managed to put together an investigation. And
they found somebody who talked. There was actually a gunman who broke the vow of silence, and it started crumbling.
The gunman, whose name was Dayton Dean, had participated in at least two murders. He said he wished he'd never heard of the Black Legion. He also revealed plots to poison the food being delivered to Jewish neighborhoods and plans to assassinate a labor attorney, a mayor, and a newspaper publisher. In the end, nobody above the level of Dean and a couple of other dupes faced prosecution. Allegations that judges, law enforcement officers, and business leaders had joined the Legion were buried.
People scrambled for cover. J. Edgar Hoover had very little interest in investigating. And a whole lot of people got away with murder.
But Tom Stanton has carried on the investigation into the Legion and its business. His research involved going through over 1,000 pages of FBI and Michigan State Police documents, and he saw the same issues surfacing repeatedly.
The Legion was concerned about immigration, and the Legion was concerned about Second Amendment rights, and the Legion was continuously criticizing FDR, describing him as a socialist and as being un-American. The echoes of some of those issues exist, and it's frightening.
It's significant, I think, that Tom Stanton, the historian, uses the present tense. It's frightening, not it was frightening. Because just as fans in Detroit in 1935 lost their minds over the Tigers and the Lions, fans today still lose their minds over their baseball and football teams. Some of those fans in Detroit were characterized by ignorance, hatred, fear, and a twisted sense of what was American. But that didn't prevent them from rooting for people they'd sworn to hate, as long as those people were Hank Greenberg, Joe Louis, or Jesse Owens. It's frightening, Tom Stanton says. And again, I don't think he just means then. Tom Stanton's book, Terror in the City of Champions, is subtitled Murder, Baseball, and the Secret Society That Shocked Depression-Era Detroit.